Hello and welcome to History Gap. I'm Georgia McAndrew.
And I'm Molly Goodfellow. This is the podcast that bridges the history agenda gap and tells you all about the badass women from across history and culture.
This week on the podcast, we are talking about Gertrude Ederle. Are you much of a swimmer, Molly?
I like being in the water, but I'm not a very good swimmer. Like, I'm very much a doggy paddle girl and I can't dive, but I do like being in water.
I used to do this embarrassing thing when I was like, I hated swim club. It wasn't for me. I'm just like, I have quite small arms. And like, you have to have like good arms
to swim. Breath,
yeah, they
depth.
Need like, I think it's like the best swimmers. It's like double their wingspan to height or something. I don't know. I tried to do that cool thing where you kick off in the water and like roly-poly and then keep going. But like, I just did it the other way and smacked my head off the thing and I had to get pulled out of the pool.
I think I got my like 50, you know, like in primary school, you'd get your 50 meter badge. I think I have that. And then I just think I didn't really like swim for sport ever again.
Yeah.
I was just like a pool on holiday girl.
Yeah. Anyway, let's dive in, shall we?
We shall.
Gertrude Ederle was born on October 23rd, 1905 in Manhattan, New York. Her father, Henry, was a butcher and her mother was called Anna. Gertrude was one of four daughters and she had two brothers also. The family owned a holiday cottage in New Jersey and it was here where Gertrude would learn to swim. She described herself as a water baby and often said that she was happiest when she was swimming. When she was 5 years old, Gertrude developed a hearing problem after suffering with a bout of measles. She was told by doctors if she continued to swim, it would only get worse, but she was determined to keep on swimming. At 12 years old, she joined and trained with the Women's Swimming Association and began to compete.
Imagine loving swimming so much that you're told if you continue to swim, it's going to damage your hearing and being like, it's worth it to me. Like, I think that's really magical. She obviously loved swimming a lot.
Definitely. I mean, yeah, to like kind of sacrifice such like a big part. Yeah. Of your health, I suppose.
Especially back then when we didn't have kind of the help that we have nowadays with like hearing aids and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite a, I don't know. Yeah, like you say, it's a sacrifice.
It wasn't common for women to be swimmers in the early 20th century. There was a lot of stigma around women in swimming. It was sort of the stereotypical opinion that women aren't biologically made for swimming and it would be too hard for them and men were just better at it. Another theory as to why women weren't adept at swimming is due to the modest clothing that used to be expected of them. Their outfits would include heavy skirts and many layers made of wool, which were difficult to move about in the water. A woman might know how to swim, but would be trapped by her actual clothing. In the United States, there was a story of a steamboat that caught on fire in 1904. The steamboat was called General Slocum, and a lot of women and children on board drowned because they didn't actually know how to swim, and so didn't jump ship when the fire broke out. There were 978 women and children on board, and nearly all of them died. The incident with General Slocum did lead to changes. People, women and children included, were actively encouraged to learn to swim, and women began to advocate for proper women's swimwear. It was these sort of gender politics that Gertrude was navigating whilst trying to become a swimmer. But really, she wasn't letting this hold her back. In 1919, when she was 13 years old, Gertrude set the record in the 800-yard freestyle, becoming the youngest world record holder in swimming. She swam it in 13 minutes and 19 seconds. She was the first woman to hold the freestyle swimming records for 100 metres up to 800 metres. In 1922, she set 7 world records in a single swim in Brighton Beach, New York, from 100 yards to 500 metres. From the years 1921 to 1925, Gertrude held a total of 29 US and world records for swimming. And in between, in 1924, she travelled to Paris to take part in the Olympics. This would be the second games in which American women could take part in swimming. This was due to the relaxing of the long skirt rule, which essentially forbade women to wear a skirt above the knee. Women who swam still had a difficult time with strict rules, however, about what they were allowed to wear. They weren't allowed to show off too much of their bodies, and the materials their costumes were made of were thicker, which meant they couldn't go as fast in the water. They also had to take a week off training whenever they were on their period, which was a long time to miss training for. Again, I feel like on History Gap, sometimes we just get the vibe that men were a little bit too scared of women. And I think this is it. They were scared the women were going to be too good at swimming.
And they were.
And periods.
And periods. You can't get period water in the swimming water.
I actually do feel like the skirt stuff is really dark because I feel like they know they're potentially really harming women.
Yeah. Like, I feel like you're way more likely to drown in a long skirt than a short skirt.
Jump in that pool with a heavy skirt on and see
what
happens.
Also, like, not to be so generalising, But like, do men not love legs?
Yeah.
Men want to see the women's legs. Straight men want to see the women's legs.
But I think this is definitely a time where men are like still afraid of women's bodies.
And women's sexuality.
Yeah.
And their own sexuality,
and their
maybe.
Own mostly their own sexuality.
Like, get a life.
Yeah. That's my hot take anyway. The women also face poor conditions to swim in. The first equipment to be used in the sport of swimming was the addition of lane dividers made of cork in the 1924 Olympics. Later, starting blocks, red flags, touch pads and timing systems were added into the sport. While at the 1924 Paris Olympics, Gertrude would go on to win a gold medal for her efforts in the US team's 100-metre freestyle relay. With her teammates, she set a record of 4 minutes and 58 seconds and 8 milliseconds?
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
In their final race. By herself, she won 2 bronze medals, one for finishing third in the women's 100-metre freestyle and another for the 400-metre freestyle race. After the Olympics, she set her sights to a new swimming target. She swam from Battery Park in New York to Sandy Hook on the north end of the Jersey Shore, a length of 22 miles. She swam it in 7 hours and 11 minutes, which, as you can guess, was another record. She's incredibly impressive. Imagine just like swimming for 7 hours and 11 minutes.
Could never be me.
Could never be me. And obviously she's breaking all these records, like wearing swimsuits that actually makes it like really difficult to swim. And why? Because like people are afraid of your bodies. Like that must have been so like frustrating. And,
like I just want to swim.
Yeah, I just want to swim. And, it's like, not about what I look like. Yeah. It's not about if you're attracted to me. Like I really just want to swim in the water and do my sport.
But also like quite an accomplishment to be like in those situations and still be breaking records. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's really cool.
I think continue to doing a sport in a world that was like very hostile towards like female athletes. It's like really empowering and like inspiring.
I think it's a similar thing like in some of the other episodes we've done, like where I think it was Rosalind Franklin we talked about who helped not invent DNA, but she helped discover DNA. Mm-hmm. Like when women say, I just want to be getting on with what I want to do, like I don't want to have to think about doing it as a woman, like, and I think that's possibly like, not to put words in her mouth, but I imagine Gertrude felt similarly, like she just wanted to swim. Mm-hmm. And like the rest of it was kind of white noise.
Yeah. So what would be Gertrude's next challenge? She wanted to swim across the English Channel. In 1925, the Women's Swimming Association sponsored Gertrude and another swimmer, Helen Wainwright, to complete the swim. Unfortunately, Helen would end up pulling out due to injury. But in the meantime, Gertrude began training with Jabez Wolf, a swimmer who had made 22 attempts to swim the channel himself.
Attempts. Didn't even finish.
Yeah, keyword here, attempts. On August 18th, 1925, Gertrude would make her first attempt to swim the channel. She would, however, be disqualified when Jabez ordered her companion swimmer to recover her from the water, a controversial move that Gertrude did not agree with, and some say it was a move to sabotage her swim. When she returned to New York, she told reporters,
I don't know if I could have gone across, but I could have gone further.
Sabotaged by her own coach. Was he jealous?
I think so. He was intimidated.
I think so. I think he saw the potential of her to be able to do it, and he was like, get this bitch out of the water.
Yeah. She needs to earn it like I did. Well, I didn't actually earn it, but I did it 22 times.
Yeah.
She can't do it on her first time. Get her out of there.
Get her the hell out of there. And I'm glad she ditched him off.
Yeah, me too. Good for her.
Do you think if the opportunity presented itself, you would want to swim the English Channel?
No, I'm just going to say no. Do you know what? I'm not even going to. Last time when we talked about Everest, I was like, yeah, sure, if someone like sorts it out for me. But this one, I'm just going to say no.
Yeah, I don't even think I can really do front crawl. I find it really, the breathing air-water ratio I struggle with.
I don't like the water, the idea of water splashing in my face.
Like seawater. Oh,
also,
well.
Yeah, like I have eczema, but like it'll sting my skin.
It would be bad for your eczema, yeah.
Oh, it might be good for my skin actually, but it hurts.
Yeah.
It hurts, it would get in my mouth, get in my eyes. It would do stuff to my hair that I don't want. I just can't be arsed. Like, I truly can't be arsed.
But Gertrude could.
I can barely do my 10,000 steps a day. Do you know what I mean?
I imagine her training was, like, really grueling as well. Because, I mean, I imagine it would take hours and hours to swim that far.
Yeah.
So, like, she must have been in the pool, like, in the lead up for hours a day.
Yeah. And I do think, like, I had a few friends in school who did, like, not professional. Was it professional swimming? I don't know if it's professional swimming.
But yeah, and it's intense,
did,
right?
Like swim, like, and then always the be like, oh, can't I go swimming after school? Or like, yeah. Oh, I'm not swimming before school.
Yeah.
Like, to what end?
To what end?
To I think what end?
Maybe it's like when people get really into running.
Yeah.
People get really into swimming. I don't know.
Maybe I should become disciplined in some way, but probably not.
She returned to New York and started working with a new trainer, Bill Burgess, who had successfully, yeah, in your face, Jabez, swum the channel in 1911. Unlike the first attempt, she did not ask the Women's Swimming Association to support her and instead raised this $9,000 required herself with the help from her sister, Margaret. She then decided to design herself her own swimsuit to suit the swim. She said the suit
needed to cause less drag in the water but be decent in case I failed and they had to drag me out.
About a year after her first attempt, she returned to have another go. She started at Cape Grisnez in France at 7:08 a.m., very precise, on the 6th of August 1926. She arrived on shore in Kingsdown, Kent, 14 hours and 34 minutes later, and it was a tough swim. She had to contend with jellyfish and sharks.
Sharks?
I know. The weather was stormy and the water was choppy. Her tongue was swollen because of the salt water she was ingesting. Even the people following her journey along in the support boat, her trainer, friends and reporters struggled with the journey. Gertrude herself had to keep them motivated. She told an interviewer,
I had to keep joking with them to keep their spirits up.
She was greeted on shore by a British immigration officer who requested her passport, which feels very on the nose, even for Britain.
It's like mad to see this exhausted woman coming ashore and being like, where's your passport? Even back then.
Even back then.
Like, I like these days, I totally see it. But back then, like, guys.
It's definitely the definition of a job's worth, isn't it?
Get a life.
Also, like, if I was her, I would not be gracious enough if the people on the boat were complaining and I was swimming in this channel. I'd be like, I'm sorry.
Oh,
are you in here with the water and the jellyfish and the sharks?
Maybe you'd have more fun if you were in the water with the jellyfish and the sharks.
Get on this heavy-ass swimsuit.
No one forced you to come over here and follow my journey. I can do this by myself.
Take your seasickness and bugger off, okay? She held the record as the first woman to cross the English Channel until a woman called Florence Chadwick swam it in 13 hours and 23 minutes in 1950. Before Gertrude, only five men had completed a swim of the channel, the fastest being Enrique Tiribocchi in 16 hours and 33 minutes. Wow, you can kind of see now why Jabez pulled her out of the water. Because only, five men had done it before
her.
Yeah,
so she was like the sixth person ever.
That is actually crazy. A woman after my own heart, Gertrude talked about the hunger she remembered feeling during her swim. She said,
I remember stopping swimming suddenly at about 7:30 in the evening, not too far from my destination, and everybody was worried. I merely told them I was hungry for a steak smothered in onions and mushrooms. I never did get my steak. They gave me a ham sandwich. But what a marvellous reception. There were bonfires and crowds of people greeting me.
She also kept herself going by singing to herself, and people on the support boat held up signs saying,
One wheel, two wheel.
As she'd been promised a red sports car if she completed the swim. I do love that.
That's really chic.
That is chic.
It's very chic.
Also in the English Channel, if I can have a red
sports car.
What would be the equivalent of your red sports car? You can swim the English Channel if you give me
a really nice holiday somewhere Caribbean-esque where I can lie on a beach for like 7 days.
2 weeks, surely.
Or maybe too close to a beach. Like, you know what I mean? It's like busman's holiday. Too close to the sea.
It's too close.
It's too close. What about you?
What would be my red sports car?
Do you know, I think mine would actually just be a sports car.
Yeah, I mean, it would be
just
really
give me like a vintage Porsche.
Yes.
Like an old vintage sports car. That's my sports car.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's totally valid and I think that's fine. What would mine be? Oh, I'd maybe like, I would probably do it for like £1 million.
I think that's fair.
No, there's sharks. 1.5?
Yeah.
The extra 500k.
And like some sort of shark insurance.
When she returned to her proper home in New York, she was welcomed by a ticker tape parade. More than 2 million people stood along her parade route and cheered her on for her accomplishment. She even received many proposals of marriage from men in the mail. She was invited to the White House by President Calvin Coolidge, who called her America's best girl. Don't love that. She's a woman.
She's a woman. She's America's best woman.
It's so weird when like men of a certain age like still call women girls.
Yeah, like I call really myself creepy. Girl and I call my friends girl, but and I that's don't fine because men are allowed.
We're girls.
We're girls.
But like, no, unacceptable behavior.
Calling me a girl.
After the excitement died down, she went on a speaking tour with a group to make money. She talked about her swimming and the Channel Swim. She made a sort of short movie about herself in Hollywood, but soon she had to quit that lifestyle. She was struggling with her nerves and also what was left of her hearing, because it had been basically destroyed by the Channel Swim, and she became quite shy. In 1929, she was engaged to a man, but she suggested to him that he might not want to be engaged to a woman who couldn't hear, and he basically agreed and left.
No, Gertrude!
It was so mean. I feel like it's that thing where like you're feeling a bit funky about something, so you bring it up expecting them to be like, no, like,
yeah,
absolutely not.
You like bring up your biggest vulnerability and they use it against you.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate that for her. That's really sad.
It'd be like me, like, Molly, I look like plus one Pat, and you being like,
bye.
Bye. I'm never doing
now that you mentioned
again.
It. Goodbye.
Joke aside, though, it's fucking horrible.
That's
that
awful.
He did that.
He's going in the bad husbands.
Another one.
Episode.
Husband bastard episode.
We're including fiancés in this.
Yes, 100%. Boyfriends, husbands,
lovers. Yeah. Get straight in there. Mm-hmm. I like that we don't even know his name. We don't need to know his
name.
We
don't need to know. He's dead to us now.
Scum.
She was hurt by this, naturally, and wouldn't be engaged to anyone else in her life. She kind of retracted from the spotlight. People moved on from her story. And in 1933, she slipped on some tiles in her apartment building and injured her back. She was in a cast for about 4 years. Her doctors told her that she wouldn't swim or walk again. But in 1939, she appeared in an aquacade at the New York World's Fair. When World War II began, she started working for LaGuardia Airport, checking flight equipment, but she quit this after the war.
That's sad. A few bad years for Gertrude.
It's like the freak
incident.
It's like
one thing after another.
It is, yeah. Like, the broken off engagement.
And then hurting your back.
Slipping on tiles and, like, breaking your back. That's
crazy.
When
all you love is swimming as well. That's crazy, girl.
It is. It's crazy. It's crazy, girl. I really don't like to think that this happens, that people just slip on tiles, because, again,
anyone can slip on tiles.
My boyfriend Harry fell in the shower recently and it was really stressful.
Oh, no.
I thought he was dead.
He had a fall.
I thought he was dead, and then I thought it would be like, I'd be like in some sort of weird documentary. You know, like the one with the staircase.
Oh my God, yeah. People would think that you
or
killed
people
him.
People thought I made him slip in the shower, but I actually didn't.
Yeah. I thought you were going to go with that, with like, oh, I thought he was going to be really injured, not I thought I was going to get in trouble.
I mean, once I knew
he
was
fine.
Oh
no, what does this mean for me?
What did you leave me in your will? kidding. Yeah, it's like kind of a bit of a sad sort of dip in her life, isn't it? Like, she's achieved so much. But, like, I'm really glad that she achieved her dreams of swimming the Channel before this obviously happened to her.
It feels like kind of not a theme, but I feel like with sports people, certainly, because obviously, stereotypically, you have to be younger to be in your prime for sports. And so then you kind of have, like, a longer period of your life where you're not doing that sport. And so, like, kind of working out what you have, what to do with the rest of your life is, like, I would think always interesting.
Yeah, like a total, like, adjustment to your life.
Yeah.
Really. The rest of her life was a fairly modest one in comparison to celebrities we see today. She taught swimming to deaf children in New York at the Lexington School for the Deaf. She didn't know sign language, but she was able to communicate to them how to swim. She had applied to teach at public schools, but the New York Education Board wouldn't hire her because of her disability. In an interview with the UPI in 1984, Gertrude said,
"That was ironic. I couldn't get into the public schools and pass along my abilities, but I wind up teaching a lot of deaf kids. The mayor could have gotten me an appointment, but I wanted to do it on my own. I do a lot of lip reading now. The deafness makes me shy when I'm asked to speak to groups, but I've had my day, don't you think so?"
So, like, very, like, humble and gracious.
Very kind of, she wants to do it by herself. She wants to do things on her own terms. And she kind of enjoys, she just wants to, like, pass along her abilities however she can.
It is definitely, like, a theme that we see with women that we feature on History Gap who are very gracious. Like, horrible things happen to them in their lives. Like, they're either, like, betrayed or, like, they've had, like, a horrible injury such as this. Or, like, they don't achieve their dreams quite like they wanted to, and they are always pick themselves up and are very, like, emotionally mature about it.
None of them wants preferential treatment. They were all kind of like, I want to achieve it on my own, or I don't want it in a way, yeah. Which I think is quite nice.
And she's obviously a bit of an optimist. Like, she's obviously had these things go wrong. And she's like, but hey, it's okay. Like, I've achieved things I yeah. want to achieve. Her accomplishments would be remembered by journalists who would get in touch with her on anniversaries of her achievements. But she didn't want them to dwell on the negatives of her life. In 1956, she told the New York Times,
"Don't weep for me. Don't write any sob stories."
Of her life, she told one interviewer,
"I have no complaints. I am comfortable and satisfied. I am not a person who reaches for the moon as long as I have the stars." That's so nice.
That's so nice. Very poetic.
I want to remember that more, I think.
I think she's better than me.
I think so.
Because I loved her.
She's achieved so much.
Yeah.
And then was just like, I did what I wanted to do and I just want to chill now.
Yeah.
Which I respect.
Whereas I feel like now in modern culture, it's just like more and more and more and more and more.
Yeah, it's like succeed, you can't succeed, kind achieve. Of, you have to keep going, which I think is why people are not as fulfilled as they used to be. I like that we said that at the same
yeah.
time.
Look at us. She lived out her life in Flushing, Queens, with two female friends. Oh, the dream.
The dream.
Have you seen that article?
Golden
about
Girls.
The... Yeah.
Sorry.
We've seen the article about the women who built like a massive house together. There's like six of them and they all live there.
That's
absolute
nice.
Goals.
Every so often me and my friends would just be like, should we just live in a commune together? And
yeah.
Like, yes.
We should.
But they all have boyfriends.
Oh, that's
annoying. I don't want to be the single one in the commune.
Dump.
That's
them.
Another.
Oh,
anyway.
You don't have boys in the commune.
No boys
not.
In the commune. Boys have to have their own commune.
Yes.
There's
agreed.
The husband's
and
commune.
And they can come over on the weekends.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Due to Gertrude swimming at the Olympics and of the Channel, she became one of the most well-known sport personalities of the 20th century. Gertrude died aged 98 in a nursing home in New Jersey in 2003. She left a very strong legacy. She was inducted into the International Swimmers Hall of Fame in 1965 and the National Women's Hall of Fame the year she died, 2003. There's an annual swim called the Ederle Swim, which follows her first long swim from Battery Park to Sandy Hook. Gertrude's life has also been made into a film called Young Women in the Sea. Gertrude is played by Daisy Ridley. This is not sponsored.
I think it's a really bittersweet story because it's like a story about a woman who loves to swim and so she gets to swim and she gets to achieve all this stuff and then kind of like she's lost her hearing, she slips on the tiles and breaks her back and then kind of recedes from life. She's left by her fiancé. But like it sounds like she... kind of was, I feel like it would have been really easy to become really bitter and resentful about those things happening to you, whereas she was just like, look, I've got it made. I did what I wanted to do.
I think she's just like a great example of another woman on History Gap who just loved something and then
she loved
just
it
went
so much.
For it.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of Joan Cota Bai, who just really loved climbing mountains. So she's like, I'm just gonna do it. And she's kind of got a similar energy. And yeah, hugely respect it. I wish I loved anything that much.
Yeah. Gertrude Ederle, what a queen.
What a queen.
You've been listening to History Gap with me, Georgia McAndrew.
And me, Molly Goodfellow. If you've enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to like and subscribe and review if you can.
And keep an eye on our socials at History Gap on Instagram and TikTok at History Gap Pod on Twitter.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.